Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and I am super excited to be here. We're going to start off our hour with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Seeking Salvation. I am super excited to be here. It is Sunday morning and it's been a busy week and kind of a crazy week with everything that's going on in the world. But I know that everything is going to be okay because we have God on our side. And that is really, at the end of the day, all that matters in life, right? I used to be bogged down with the worries of the day, and I don't tend to get like that anymore. Not too bad. Sometimes the news gets to me, and I just have to leave social media for a while because I just can't take the negativity all the time. Anyway, I want to get into the message this week, which for me is an important message, and I'm not really doing like a 365 read through the Bible. I would rather talk about subjects in the Bible, so to speak. And so this week's topic is on loving God with all your heart, right? The first and great commandment, as well as what I consider to be the other two great commandments, which are love your neighbor and also love yourself, right? The body is a temple, and we know that. So I want to talk about loving God with all your heart. So I have kind of come to this conclusion that since the kingdom of God is within us, which Jesus assured us it was, that the kingdom of God is kind of a frequency in your brain. And I remember in the very beginning when I first started trying to meditate and trying to pray, that I would just be struggling so hard to see God or to feel God when I was meditating. And one day it just came to me, much like Revelation usually does, that I shouldn't try to see it. I should just see it, which I know sounds like stupid, but it is true. Like, you can't force yourself to see God. You have to kind of go with the flow and you have to just relax into it. The relationship with God is a relationship, right? You have to give and take. You have to be committed. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be committed and you have to love God with all your heart. And my favorite book in the Bible is Matthew, and I don't know what it is about that book, but I do absolutely love that book. I listen to it a lot. So in Matthew verses 34 through 39, actually through 40, it says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" So I have to agree with that because it's kind of been the basis for my whole life, is just loving God and trying to love my neighbor. Obviously, nobody is perfect at loving their neighbor, right? There are just times when it challenges you. But loving the Lord God is the first. And I do think I have that commandment down pretty well. And I mean, at least at this point, I hope that I have that down. I do work on loving my neighbor a lot. So especially like people, I've been lately praying for people, not necessarily enemies, people that I dislike or that I feel are wronging the world or they're wronging me in some way. I will pray for them in a genuine prayer, right? I think that sometimes we get in this stubborn state of mind where we are like, you know, I'm going to pray for them because they're so wrong. But that's not the way I think that we should be thinking about praying for others. I think that even when we have those challenging people in our lives, that we need to honestly pray for them. And if we are not asking for wisdom ourselves in dealing with that situation, then we're also missing the point, right? Because it's not always about them. Sometimes it is about the way we are handling the situation. So you may like be sitting there and something happens and you get in an argument or whatever and you're like, oh, I'm going to pray for them because they need help, right? But maybe you're the one that needs help. And you have to be honest with yourself. You have to know your difficulties in life. With me, I get defensive, right? So when somebody says something defensive to me, and then I'll turn around and I'll get defensive right back. And then I later, of course, feel terrible about it. And I pray to God that, you know, he'll help me get rid of this defensiveness in my system for this person. But I find that praying for other people really helps me see them as human, right? When I got through, so I was sexually abused by somebody in my family and I forgave them, and it was a very big deal to me, to my life, right? I consider that the day that my karma changed. I consider that the day that my life changed. I stopped being angry and I started moving forward in my life. And praying for him actually helped me forgive him and helped me let go of it, right? Even though the decision to forgive him was pretty instantaneous, actually praying about it helped me let go of it even more. And what that then in turn helped going forward in my life, this whole forgiveness thing, right? Because this was probably the worst thing that it was ever done to me. It has wrecked our family. We have people in our family that are just scattered to the wind because of all the trauma in our family. And it caused me to not have family ties for 40 years. So this particular act by this particular person caused a lot of destruction. And, you know, you look at that and you're like, wow, this the fallout from this decision that this person made was huge. And forgiving him kind of let go of all that, even though I still left and I went on my way and I, you know, really kind of let go of the actual act. I didn't really deal with the act. I just let go of it and I forgave him, but I still kind of had all this anger inside. And I wanted to, when I got past that, I wanted to, you know, move on and actually like forgive myself for being upset about it. Because for a while I kind of buried it, and then I started praying about it and I was able to let that go. So, and I consider this part of loving your neighbor, right? Because forgiving people, especially for the things that were horrible, right? I think we all have a point in our life where we have a choice to make. And it's a big choice. It isn't a little choice. It's not like the day-to-day things where, oh, if I pick the wrong car, my life's going to be 10 times different. This is a moral choice. It's the high road or the low road, right? Where you decide to love or you decide to be angry. And if you decide to be angry, God will give you many, many chances to reverse that. However, you're going to keep going down that road, right? Until you decide, I choose love. I need to choose love in my life because I don't want to be held down by this stuff forever. Once you make that decision, it is much easier to love your neighbor, right? Because you're not holding all this stuff in and all this anxiety and all this hate for this other person. And the interesting thing that happened in this particular situation was that I did not love this person. I got past hating them pretty fast, but I did not love them, right? Until I started talking to members of my family that weren't abused by him, and they loved him. And what I said to them, and they felt guilty because, there was just this whole separation of our family. And I said to them, I said, look, what they did was bad, right? It was a bad decision. It hurt me. It hurt many other girls in my family. But that doesn't mean that every part of this person was bad. And what you have to do is find the human part of people because that's what you need to learn to love. So identifying the human in every person, or that godlike quality, right? Like that God quality that people have, that good part of them. That's what you have to discover to love your neighbor. And it's hard sometimes. You're sitting in traffic and somebody cuts you off and you're like, what is going on? Like, why would somebody do that? And you get angry or you're in a hurry. But changing your viewpoint on what loving your neighbor means is going to take you a lot farther. And while I was praying this last Sabbath, something came to mind, right? And it basically lined up with the commandments. If you covet your neighbor's life, you cannot love them. If you lie to your neighbor, you cannot love them. If you steal from your neighbor anything that's not yours, you cannot love them. And that includes their wife or anything like that, right? If you are angry with your neighbor, you cannot love them. So let go of all the pretenses and just love them. Period. So that was kind of what came to me while I was praying. And it was an interesting thing because I realized that all of the commandments keep you from loving your neighbor, right? If you do these things, if you bear false witness, if you don't love your mom and dad, if you don't like respect your mother and father, if you don't love the Lord God with all your heart, if you commit these sins, they keep you from actually loving your neighbor, which is the second greatest commandment, right? According to Jesus, that's the second greatest commandment. But what they also do is keep you from seeing the human part of people. Because what is hate? What is darkness? It is the absence of God. So it was just an interesting prayer session that I had. And I kind of tied together the commandments with what Jesus said on the cross, right? Which is, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I have several theories about what he meant by that. And at first, you're like, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. But then I realized he was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? He was talking about the fact that he knew that the Sadducees and the Pharisees were lying to the people of Israel. They were lying. They changed the laws. They were so into the laws that they forgot to love. They forgot to have a relationship with God. They didn't know how to do that because they were so busy following the letter of the law and profiting off of it, right? Because they did profit off of the letter of the law. And it was such a far gone cry from the actual relationship with God. And so Jesus brought that relationship to the forefront for humans. He did. He died to forgive our sins. He completed the contract. He fulfilled the law of Moses. And when he was on the cross and he said, God forgive them for they know not what they do, I honestly think he was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the fact that they were so far gone from the relationship and the love of God that he could see the human part of them too, right? Like, because he had to. I can't even imagine. I get mad if somebody cuts me off in traffic sometimes, right? But Jesus actually was tortured. He was tortured and killed and betrayed. He not only was he tortured and killed by the leaders of his country and his own people, which that was terrible, right? But also, he was betrayed by Judas, who was one of his students. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And I can't imagine that betrayal. And I'm human, right? Like, Jesus was supernatural. Jesus was the Son of God, you know, and I'm sure that the betrayal still stands. But like, I get upset about traffic. Here, he literally was betrayed by somebody he trusted and murdered in front of everybody that he loved. So, you know, and he still had this love for the people to the point that he asked God to forgive them, which is a powerful, powerful thing. And whenever I feel frustrated and I feel sad and I don't know how to deal with something, I remember Jesus's commitment to loving people no matter what, right? Because love is everything. Love is the reason. It is the way. Without love, there is loneliness and darkness. But love is always there. And this is why none of God's sheep are truly lost, right? It doesn't matter what they do. I know that that's hard to reconcile for some people, like my grandfather, right, who abused children. It's hard to reconcile the fact that he had good parts. He wasn't all a terrible person. People that murder people aren't all terrible. And I know that's hard to realize. It's hard to realize, especially when you're in that situation, right? Like, you're in that. Somebody murders your daughter, or they murder your mother, or, you know, whoever it is, your friend. It's hard to look at that person and say, you took something that was important to me, right? You took that from me. And how horrible do you have to be to commit murder, to kill a child? How horrible do you have to be? But they don't know the story. I am not saying that murder is okay, and I'm not saying that any of that is okay. What I'm saying is there's human underneath what happened. There's more to a person than the summary of their actions, right? That person was probably betrayed. I'm sure that my grandfather was molested or had something happen that caused him to make that decision. People don't just do bad things. I don't believe in the theory about original sin. I just don't. First of all, I think people are good. I think most people have good in them. And I strive to see that in people. I strive for it because I believe it with all my heart, because you cannot have love without having good in you. So I just absolutely believe that love is the way. Love is the light. And, you know, Jesus talked about this. Even in the darkest places, there is love. Right? It's never gone out. The flame is never extinguished for anybody. It's just not extinguished. Even if they're completely turned against God, anybody can be saved. Anybody. I don't care who you are, what you've done, you know, or what life you've lived or any of that. You can be saved by God because God loves you. And he knows that you can be saved. every single person on the planet has this opportunity. They have the opportunity to save, like, be saved by God. Meditate on love for 5 minutes, you know? Like, just meditate on love and start to see the world differently. Love spreads, right? Love can't be bought. It can't be sold. You could have all the money in the world, and if you don't love somebody, you'll have nothing. The richest people on the planet are still miserable without love. It's fact. Money doesn't solve anything. And, you know, I think about the churches, and, you know, Jesus was very upfront about the money changers and things like that. And I have very strong opinions about what the church does with money. I don't think in most cases it's okay. There are a few exceptions to my thoughts about this, but they're pretty much that, you know, you shouldn't make a ton of money off of people in religion. Most of it should go back to the people. Most of it should be given to help people. And we've forgotten that. We have gotten away from that, right? Our charity is kind of crazy in churches, right? Like, I feel like we have ministers that have private jets. And I don't understand that. That private jet could feed so many people. So I'm not down with the money part of religion. I often wonder what Jesus would think about religion these days, because I would love to know. I think there are some exceptions. I think there are some good religions. I've talked about this before. I think Buddhism is good. I think Jehovah's Witnesses try to follow the commandments of God. I also believe the Mormons do that. And the Mormons are crazy with, you know, doing charity work, and they help people all the time. The Amish also, Hinduists are also like that. They believe in right action, right? So there are a lot of good people in the world, despite how awful the world may seem sometimes, there are. And the common thread in studying all these religions over the years that I've done is that they love. Love is the common thread, right? So one of the things that I do, and one of the things I do weekly when I have Sabbath, and I do practice Sabbath from Friday night to Saturday night. I think it should be then, but I don't judge people that do it on Sunday, and that is totally up to them. I do fast. I did find scripture to support fasting. In the Gospel of the Holy 12, Luke 5:35 says, "But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." So I do think one of the things, and some of the people that follow me wanted me to talk about my feelings about COVID and what the New World Order is up to. And I am very shy about talking about this stuff because I'm aware of the stigmatism surrounding the COVID vaccine, of which I've had 3. But I am going to talk about it a little. So I do believe that the COVID vaccine made me stop dreaming. And I read a theory somewhere that they are trying to cut off the connection with God. I can't figure out why they want to do this, but I do know that I was a very vivid dreamer. I was a lucid dreamer, in fact. I could work in my sleep, and as soon as I got the 3 COVID shots, that stopped. And I found myself drifting really far from God, actually. Not just really drifting from Him, but I literally just didn't even think about Him. And that's crazy for me because I've always talked to God. I've always had a relationship with God, even though it wasn't formal in the way of going to church. I always talked to him. So when I got the COVID vaccine and I stopped dreaming, it was very noticeable for me. And I discovered once I started practicing the Sabbath and fasting that I started dreaming again. And it's absolutely a thing. So if you are having difficulty meditating, fast, right? Especially for like 24 hours. I fast for 24 hours once a week because I need to have that connection, and meditating helps that connection. And of course, you know, the government, the previous government, not our current government, said that, oh, you shouldn't meditate, it's bad for you. I really think that they're so far from God. God will never leave you though, right? And there's also the point that no weapon against you shall prosper. So there is God, I do honestly believe, will protect us in the storm. He's always done that. He never takes you out of the storm. He protects you in the storm. It was that way for Meshach and Abednego. It was that way for the fire thing with Daniel or the den of lions. So I feel like COVID is no different. It is our modern day den of lions, right? We have this oppressive government that is trying to break everybody's connection with God. And I don't know what the purpose is. I really cannot figure it out. I pray about it all the time, trying to find a motive for this. And I'm very good at like seeing people's side of things, right? Like I consider myself balanced in the fact that I like to hear every side of the story because it teaches me a lot about who they are, right? So I cannot find a motive for it, except that Satan, when he was kicked out of heaven, wanted power. And that seems certainly true today, right? The people that are involved with the New World Order want power over people. And that is very apparent. But why take people away from God? I don't get it. Like, they could have power without dragging everybody away from God, but maybe they can't control people as well. I don't know. Another one, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God loves you and goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so, you know, that this is just owing to that fact. And the fact that, so here is like the list of verses that just talk about the fact that God is with you all the time. Hebrews 13:5, Joshua 1:5, Isaiah 41:10, Joshua 1:9, Hebrews 13:5-6, Genesis 28:15, Psalm 94:14, 1 Chronicles 28:20, Philippians 4:6-7, 1 Peter 5:7, Psalm 55:22, and Deuteronomy 4:31 as well. Matthew, my favorite book again, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the thing in Revelations that has always given me comfort is that in those days, is it Revelations? I think it might be Old Testament. That I will be with you, and anybody that seeks shall find me. So I think that you have to actively seek, though. I think that they're trying to break the connection because they know together we're stronger. So when we function as a unit, and I'm talking all religions here, I don't believe that there is one completely right church. I don't think in the end, if you base everything on love, in the end, it has to be about love. Which I absolutely believe it is. Therefore, all churches are imperfect. And all churches that believe in Jesus Christ will be saved. That's what I believe. Because I refuse to believe that Satan is going to win. In fact, I don't think that that's going to happen. And I do think, even if there are things that have been changed about the Bible, even though there are churches that follow sometimes wildly different things, it still comes down to loving God and loving your neighbor, which are the two greatest commandments that Jesus talked about, right? So, and I want to talk a little bit about the third commandment that I, and it's not a commandment. This is just something that I believe about loving yourself, right? I have a child who is depressed often. It has taken me a really long time to learn how to listen to him because I'm not that way. This is his moral choice, right? This is his decision and his karma in life. He has to make this choice. I cannot help him with, I can help him with, you know, information, and I can pray for him and I can try to guide him. At the end of the day, he has to get through this himself. He has to decide to leave behind all of the stuff that hurts him. He hasn't done that yet, but I do feel like he is on the road to that. However, he's not there yet, right? But here's the thing to keep in mind about loving yourself. This is not an ego thing. This is not, oh, I'm so fantastic. Look at me. Love me for who I am, right? It's not an ego thing. But here's what you have to realize about loving yourself. And most of us struggle with this. God makes no mistakes. He loves you as you are, completely. God is what's left. And I wrote this in the book, right? Seeking Salvation. God is what is left when you are at your worst and you are crying and you have nobody to listen and you feel like everything in the world is wrong and you're devastated and alone and locked up in your house in those private moments, right? That is God. He is the one bringing you out of there, protecting you. Some people don't listen, right? And they do something awful or they kill themselves. And I've been there. I've had those thoughts. I don't think that I will ever feel that way again because I just don't think God makes mistakes. And I think if you are in that position, please get help, first of all. My husband committed suicide and it was strange because we weren't together at the time and I didn't even find out right away. But I was still devastated. I still went through all the processes, right? All the processing. I didn't have guilt really about that, but I did have residual feelings about it. I mean, I did love him and I did marry him. And despite the fact that we were separated, you know, I never would have wanted him to do that. I had never had any inclination that that was even a possibility for him. He was employed in mental health. So, you know, you have to be careful. And you never know who you speak to, who you'll get through to. Right? Because you could be that difference. So talk about God. All the time. Love God so much that you can't stop talking about him. Because that's the right path for this life. It just is. You know? I don't know. I have been very down on myself at times, and I had a hard time loving myself at times, and I have been alone in my house and just praying for a friend or just clarity or anything, and God always answers my prayers. My best friend, who I now live in another state, but he was the guy I prayed for, right? He was such a good guy, and he opened my mind. He does not believe in God, and we differ in that point. And I still pray for him, and I try to talk to him, but he is not ready for that. But I will tell you what he is, and that is a good person. Right? He does love people and he does help people. And I don't know what it means. Nobody truly knows the answer. But he observes the commandments. The thing he doesn't do is profess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But even Jesus didn't say that that was a thing, right? Jesus didn't say, confess me as Lord and Savior and you will be saved. He said, love God and do good. So, I don't know. But one day we will all find out, right? It's the big mystery of life. What is going on? What's going to happen at the end? And you cannot be fearful of the end. It is coming. I do believe it is coming. I used to be very fearful, right? So I was a prepper. I was a full on, I mean, I have food, I have medical supplies, I have a boat. Boat, because once I moved to Florida and it was raining all the time and the hurricanes, I decided I needed a boat, so I have a boat. An emergency boat, not like a big boat. But I came to the conclusion after I realized and truly understood what it means to walk in faith that I didn't need to prepare anything. Right? This is fear talking, the preparation thing. When you are buying things like crazy, and first of all, that's what the government wants you to do, right? They want you to buy all this stuff, spend tons of money because that's how they make money. But I realized to walk in faith with God and to love God and to believe God that I had to stop trying to follow my own plan. This was my plan. It wasn't God's plan for me to be a prepper. And while I may be able to help somebody at that point, you know, he'll make sure if I need to help somebody and I need something, he will get it to me. He will help me pay my bills. He will help me do whatever I need to do because I love him, right? You don't have to fear with God. You don't have to fear Armageddon. You don't have to fear the government. You don't have to fear nuclear war or hurricanes or earthquakes or fires. You don't have to fear anything because God is with you. When you love God, you have that protection. Right? I am protected from everything. And I actually have known this for a really long time. I used to be, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I used to be a ghost hunter for about a day, right? Till I realized that it was largely just crazy stuff. But they were doing this whole circle thing and they're like, oh, you know, do you need a spell of protection? And I said, no, I'm good. God's got me, right? Like I don't fear evil. I don't fear demons because I know that God is in my heart. I know that I have a connection and a relationship with God, and I always have. So nothing in this world can touch me. They can try, right? evil people do evil things. That is not God. So there's literally nothing they can do to me. There's no amount of preparing that I need to do. Because no matter what God's plan is for me, it's the right one. And I'm pretty sure none of that involves prepping for 5 years in a nuclear war. Because if I love God and trust God, I can move mountains, right? God will protect me in the fire. And I honestly believe that with all of my heart. And it took me a long time to get to that point. Right? He doesn't want you to be like helpless and just not doing anything either. But you don't have to live in fear. And it's going to get hard. I think it's going to get hard. There's talk about the famines and the difficulty that, you know, people are going to turn on each other and it's going to be husband against wife and child against parent, and there will be a lack of food and there will be earthquakes and famine. And we all know that. We all know that. Anybody that follows God, that loves God, knows these things. So it's hard when it comes to your family. I mean, I went to a hurricane relief effort in Florida and grown men were crying because they hadn't eaten in 4 days so that their kids could eat. That's tough. That is a tough place to be in life. But what I'm going to say and what I said to these people when they were like, who do we thank? And I was like, thank God. Because God is the only reason I'm here today, right? So it's hard to put God before your family because you're like, I've got to do something. I've got to help them. I've got to get them food. We have nothing. You're sitting in a vacant space and nobody's helping you, right? But this is what I'm going to say. Your faith in God needs to be bigger than your fear of anything worldly. Truly think about that. Your faith needs to be bigger than your fear. It's an intense, intense question. It's an intense feeling. And if God is telling you to prepare, maybe it's so you can be a blessing to somebody else, right? So don't ignore God just because, you know, you should have more faith than preparing and spending a ton of money on stuff that you don't need. If he's telling you to prepare something, please, by all means, do it. I'm just saying, in general, your faith needs to be bigger than your fear. His plan is the important plan. Your plan may seem important, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to God's plan and having faith in that plan and walking in faith, right? I did a walk of faith for close to 6 months, and I gave up a bunch of stuff. I mean, a bunch of stuff. I gave up shaving and makeup, and I gave up soda and sugar and just a complete purification of my soul. And I spent 40 days approximately praying and repenting for everything in my life that I could remember that I did wrong. And I'm still remembering stuff that I did wrong, and I repent as I go. But it was like a challenging time. It was very challenging. And my cousin said to me during this, he's like, you know, what is your goal for this? And I'm like, it's not about me. And it's not about anybody else. It's about God. I truly in my heart felt that God wanted me to do this because he's preparing me for something. And I don't know what that is. I don't. I pray all the time to know what that is. But I'm not ready, right? So I had to be ready for whatever it is that's coming. That is what I know to this day. My walk of faith with God. And honestly, I think a lot of it was that I walked away from God when I was younger. I saw a vision and it scared me so much that I just pretty much I still had a relationship with God, but wow, it was intense and I didn't know how to handle it. And I think that part of my walk of faith was just proving that, hey, I'm here, I'm in. You know, now I'm 9 months in and or 8 months, maybe 8 months in, and I have not deterred from my path. I've had struggles and bad days, and this week I struggled a little bit, right, with the love yourself thing. Somebody hurt my feelings, and I didn't know how to handle it, and I always feel like the odd person, and, you know, I have this great relationship with God, but I can't seem to fit in life, which I also think is purposeful, but that's a whole other thing. And just because I know that doesn't make it easy, right? It doesn't make it easy to walk a path with God and know that you just have never fit in life. And I never have. I've always been different when it comes to religion. I don't know why. But I do know that I have this incredible relationship with God, and I always have since I was six. I can remember back to being six and thinking about God and knowing that God was there and then I had a relationship with him. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But we're going to wrap this up. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate you tuning in if you did tune in. And, you know, I'm going to stop with a prayer. And hopefully you guys got something out of it. Let me know in the comments. Follow me, like me, please. Help spread the word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today and giving me clarity on things to talk about on this show, because we all want to spread your word. We all want to be witnesses for God, and we all want to spread love to our neighbors. Help us love you. Help us love our neighbors and help us love ourselves so that we can move forward in confidence and in confidence in your plan and not our own plan. Because you know what's best for us, God. And we love you so much. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. So thanks for joining me, everybody. I really enjoyed this week's discussion about the love of God, and I will be back next week with a whole new show, and we will keep on the journey, all of us. Have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.